give you an illustration, a story that is a true story that happened some years ago, and feed off of that story to enlighten myself on some things that I need to be reminded of from time to time. The story goes back several years ago, and there's a big diamond factory, a place where people came together and people were hired to cut diamonds to fit various settings and rings and other things. And it was before the age of technology that we know it today. And so it was all done by hand and devices and little files. And the story goes, there was a young man who was hired by one of the diamond owners at that particular time. As he was sitting in his little room that was separate and apart from others, he was working on a diamond, and as he tightened the vise just a little bit, the diamond shot out of the vise and hit the wall and bounced somewhere in that room. The young man got up and went over to the door and locked the door and began to search for that diamond. And after 20 or 30 minutes, he searched that room from top to bottom, and he couldn't find it. So he went out of the room, he locked it behind him, he went to his boss and told him what happened. The young man had an impeccable character, and the boss he knew he didn't steal the diamond. So they both went back into the room and they looked everywhere for the diamond, and neither one of them could find it. And so the company policy was, if you lose a diamond, you pay for it. And so a monthly payment was set up for this man to pay for that diamond that was lost. And the story goes, after about 2 or 3 months, and the young man had been making those payments, had some telephone problems. The telephone repairman came in as he snapped that little box off of the wall. He said, "Look what I found. I found the diamond that he had lost." And it would seem so impossible for that diamond to go through that little bitty hole. Now, as I read that story, it promoted some thoughts on my part. For we often lose things that are very precious. Things that we lose sometimes are so precious to us, lost something precious. We've known people from time to time, and my daughter being one of them, that's house burned. And all the things that could be replaced, except there were some things that had sentimental value to her. To those who have lost those things, that is lost, something precious that they can't get back. Sometimes by our words and our deeds, we lose something precious. And that is, we lose friends. How many people have lost husbands or wives because of something done that shouldn't have been done? Or things said that shouldn't have been said? And when you do that, my friends, you've lost something precious. But my friends, if you're a sinner, unrepentant sinner, if you lose your soul, you've lost something precious. Jesus summed it up in about Matthew 16, I believe it is, where he said, "What would a man give for his soul?" You give up everything. And if you lose your soul, you lose something precious. The Bible tells us on another occasion that Mary and Joseph went a whole day's journey thinking that Jesus is with them, but he was not. My friends, some people go a whole lifetime thinking that Jesus is with them, but he's not. They've lost something precious. For that life that he lived and that death that he died and that blood that he shed was shed for me and for you. And if we lose Jesus Christ, we've lost something precious. I believe in chapter 15 of the book of Luke, which some scholars call the gospel in miniature, Jesus tells about some things that was lost, the lost son. Precious to his father. The lost coin was precious to its owner. And the lost sheep, where 99 was left, and the owner went looking for that one sheep. because that was something precious. The corn was something precious. The boy was something precious. And they were lost. And lost something precious. It was just another step into another realm in which too many of us lose some very precious things. I want us to look at a couple of three or four. First of all, I say to you, many times we lose our sense of thankfulness. And when we do, we've lost something precious. My friends, it's so easy to accept God's gifts. It's so easy to look about us and see everything, and we just take it for granted that when we go to bed, we'll see the morning light. We think that when we go out and to and fro, that God's going to be there and help us, but yet we never lift up our eyes or our voices or our thoughts to Him to thank Him for the many wonderful gifts and bountiful gifts and blessings He's poured out upon me and upon you, too numerous to count. Lost something precious when we lose our sense of thankfulness. We live in a world, in a country of plenty. We live in a place that God has so blessed us with. But I would dare say that many of us, all of us maybe, have never won a really hungry day in our lives, like some in this old world in which we live go every day of their lives. Yet we sit down to three meals a day. Maybe the thanks that we give is absent, or our thanks that we give for those wonderful gifts that we have set before us, we do it in a half-hearted manner. If we lose our sense of thankfulness, my friends, we've lost something precious. Sometimes I like to think of us as human beings are like, y'all pardon me for saying this, like hogs in a hog pen. Have you ever seen hogs in a hog pen? Maybe the pen is under a big old oak tree and those acorns fall down and them hogs are busy eating those acorns and never look up to see where it come from. How many of us sit down at meals and never look up to give God the glory and praise Him and thank Him for watching after us in so wonderful a manner? As we arise in the morning, our first thoughts and our first prayers should be, thank you, good God of heaven, that you spared our lives during the course of this night. The Bible exhorts us over and over and over to be thankful. I believe it's about 75 times in 72 verses that the word thankful appears in the New King James Version as well as the King James Version. So it's emphasized over and over and over that we be thankful. That we, from the bottom of our hearts, thank God and thank each other for the wonderful things that's in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the scripture says that we should, scripture says to let us constantly offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in His name. Colossians 3:15, which a young man read beautifully a while ago. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in which also ye were called in one body, and be thankful. In Romans chapter 1 and in verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. He was a thankful individual. And his epistles are filled with being thankful for the many wonderful things that God has done for him, as well as those people that were in his life at that particular time. It was not too many years ago in some of the coal fields, I was told a tablet was used in some of the machinery, and a little girl got one stuck in her throat. She thought it was candy. Her life wasn't in danger, but she couldn't eat or she couldn't drink. And they called a doctor, and the doctor did what he had to do to get it took care of. And he gave the little girl a glass of water. She was about 3 or 4 years old. And she took just a little sip. And she set it down and took the doctor's hand and kissed it. She was thankful. So let us rise from our beds in the morning, if the God permits us to do that. Be a thankful person. We don't always see the hand behind the bounties of our lives. But I know I thrill to read the words in Matthew 16 and 18, where the Apostle Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And let us be thankful to Almighty God for that. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything, give thanks." If we lose our sense of thankfulness, my friends, we've lost something precious. Let's be a thankful people. Let's be a thankful church. Let's be thankful families, thankful individuals in all of our walks of life. Second point I want to bring up. If we lose our sense of humor, we've lost something precious. You know, sometimes a smile is just as sacred as a tear. I'm thinking back to our work on the mountain, Brindley Mountain, over near Arab, Union Grove. And there was a family that we got to know well through Marsh Wissonette. Bobby Irby was his name, and his wife Geneva. We studied the Bible with them for weeks, and old Bobby and Geneva both responded, and they were baptized. And they were very, very instrumental in the work of the church over there. There's one thing about Bobby Irby. He always had a big smile on his face. I think this was after Shirley and I and the family moved to Waynesboro, Georgia to do some mission work for the church at Grant, that we heard that Geneva was terminally ill. She was in the hospital. And we were home, and Shirley and I went by Huntsville Hospital. I walked in that room where Bobby was at. Bobby smiled. Sacred as a tear. We need to keep our sense of humor. If we're not ready to smile or laugh at some of the things in life, you know that we are in bad shape. I love people with sense of humor, don't you? And so many people in this congregation here have a great sense of humor. Don't ever lose it. If you do, you lose something precious. Bernice is a good friend of mine. Sense of humor. Others I could name. Sense of humor. The loss of Will Rogers some years ago, if some of you have read about him, was a great loss to our nation because he was a person who brought smiles to the lips of any and all who would listen to what he had to say. On one occasion, as I read some of his work, he said, "Woe unto the businessman or the professional man that loses his sense of humor, for in the place of it he will have ulcers and a nervous breakdown." He made statements that we should look for the funny things in life. And I remember one statement that he made that brought a smile to my face. He said, "Near his home on one occasion, he heard some rustling over in the grass, and he went over and looked, and there were two snakes. Each one had the other's tail in his mouth, and they were..." Mr. Rogers said, "I wonder what will happen if they keep it up." He said, "I went back a little bit later, and sure enough, both of them was gone." That's something from the Bible, you know. Was it Galatians 3:15, Danny, that says, if you eat one another, you devour one another, you'd be careful, you'd both be consumed. Humorous, but it carried a mighty, mighty good statement for us to live by. Get along. He told another story that made a smile on my face too. Said a man who was in the, the west or the east. East, you go east, it's fast time, right? Right, okay. Well, he was in a town in Florida that was on Central Time, and that's Chattahoochee, Florida, and he went into the clerk and said, I want a ticket to go over to Merriam, Florida. He said, what time does it leave the ticket? What time do I leave? And he said, well, the bus leaves at 5 o'clock. So, well, what time did they get over to Merriam? He said, 5 o'clock. So you want a ticket or not? He said, no, sir, I don't believe I will, but I'm going to stand here and watch that bus leave its depot. Humorous. Smile to your face. He didn't understand the Central Time to the East Time. Lose our sense of humor. We need to keep it in this world in which we live. I believe it was the Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22 that says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And sometimes that's what we need to heal our broken hearts. Lose our sense of humor. We've lost something precious. But then there's another point that I want to make. And that is our sense of responsibility. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, he was a debtor to all men. Paul didn't make that statement because he owed people money or he owed them favors. But he made that statement because Jesus Christ had saved him by his precious blood. And he took up that responsibility very seriously. And wherever he went, he lived up to that responsibility. The authorities would handcuff him to a jailer, and he would convert the jailer. Standing by the riverside with Lydia, he taught her the gospel because he felt a great responsibility to preach the gospel. He remembered what Jesus had said, no doubt been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. He took that at heart. And he spent his entire life preaching the gospel because he felt that sense of responsibility. He never lost it. He never lost that sense of responsibility down to the day that they killed him. He never lost it. And my friends, we can't afford to lose it either. We have a responsibility to the lost of the world. You remember Jesus said, go ye. Someone once said that go ye only meant to the apostles. But I know that this didn't apply to the apostles because the New Testament church would have died after the first century. After the last apostle died, the gospel would have died also. But for over 2,000 years, people have been responding to the gospel because what Paul said in 2 Timothy and chapter 2 and verse 2, the things you have heard of me, commit thou to faithful men that they may be able to teach others also. Teach others also. Teach others also. The faithful men that learned of him and the gospel had a responsibility. And down through the years, that responsibility is passed down. And today it rests upon the Tanner Church, the wonderful and majestic Church of Christ that meets here. We have a responsibility to the lost. We just can't go about with an attitude that, you know, I got everything like it ought to be, and so other people can just, you know, just buzz off and leave me alone. No, you got a responsibility to the lost. We never can lose that. Paul again in the same chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, said the servant of God must be apt to teach. Not quarrelsome, he said. Some of us never read that, I don't guess. Don't quarrel. But you be apt to teach. a responsibility rests upon me and upon you. The responsibility to teach the gospel. We talk about sometimes, but we're gaining Christ throughout the world. But I read not long ago that we were losing 8-1 to the Islam or to Mohammed religion, Muslims. These things are important. We lose our responsibility to the lost. My friends, we've lost something precious. Something precious. So we get so enthusiastic and impatient about minor things and put off to tomorrow those precious things. And the last point I want to bring up is simply so many of us have lost sight of heaven. And my friends, when we lose sight of heaven, we've lost something precious. We've lost something precious. The Bible says in Revelation 21 and verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, and the former things have passed away. Isn't that great? Isn't that a promise that we can hold our hearts? Let's never lose sight of that place called heaven. Because the opposite of it, it's too horrible to really to even think about. Heaven, that's a home that we need, that we want. Things here are so brief, and there's so many heartaches, and there are so many problems. And we look about us, and we see death on every hand. We see people who are advancing in years. We look about us and we miss faces in this congregation who've gone on to their reward, to heaven. And we never should lose sight of that wonderful place. It should dwell in our minds from time to time. Each time you have an ache or pain in the body, you think about heaven. I'll have a home one of these days. But that would be no more, it would be no more pain. No more dim eyes and no ears that can't hear. No more gray hairs. Heaven is the eternal home of the soul. There we will meet our loved ones who have gone before us in the Lord. Heaven never, never, never lose sight of that wonderful place. But you know, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, if you've never been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, that cannot be your hope as you live now. If you're a child of God and you've lost your way, if you erred from the truth, there's a promise and a hope that you can't hold on to till you make it right. And Zach has selected a song that we're going to sing. I want you to dwell upon that place, upon that home of the soul, as we stand and as we sing.